Members, please start taking your seats. Members of the audience. Members, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Please silence all electronic devices. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Engolia.
Here.
Vice Chair Drake. Republican Committee Wilk McFarland.
Here.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers.
Here.
Representatives Barnaby is excused. Clemens.
Here.
Daly.
Here.
DeSegli.
Here.
Fabricio.
Here.
Geller. Grieco.
Here.
Haig.
Here.
Latvala.
Here.
Maggard.
Here.
McClure. Nixon. Omfroy. Plakin. Omfroy. Plakin is excused. Placencia. Rommel.
Here.
Schoaf.
Here.
Thompson. Tomko is excused. Wilhite.
Here.
Quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Let the record reflect that a quorum is present. Members, today we are going to hear 47 bills. Just kidding. We're going to hear 7 bills. Based on her request, we would temporarily postpone HB 123 by Rep. Stevenson. Let's go straight into it. Chair Payne, you are recognized to introduce House Bill 789, Lifeline Services.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. Members, HB 789 is an act relating to Lifeline Services. Let me give you some background. The Federal Lifeline Program enables low-income families to obtain basic telephone and broadband internet services by offering qualifying households a discount on monthly bills. Currently, the Lifeline Program is administered and subject to the jurisdiction of the FCC. And on April 27, 2016, the FCC released its Lifeline Modernization Order, which sought to simplify the administration of the Lifeline Program and establish eligibility criteria that does not vary from state to state. Prior to the implementation of the FCC Lifeline Modernization Order, states such as Florida mandated Lifeline support could establish its own qualifying criteria. Therefore, one state would vary from another. This bill just simply conforms the Florida statute with current FCC guidelines for the Lifeline Program. Essentially, it's a cleanup bill, removing obsolete language from the Florida statute and replacing it with language reflected in the program's current policies, and that is the bill, Chair.
Having explained the bill, members, any questions of the bill sponsor? Any questions? Showing none, public testimony. Yvonne Fernandez, AARP. Waiving in support. Thank you. Showing no other public testimony, members, we are in debate. In debate on the bill before. Showing no debate, Rep. Payne, you are recognized to close.
Waive close, Chair.
Having waived close, the question now occurs on House Bill 789. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Engolia.
Yes.
Vice Chair Drake. Vice Chair Drake. Republican Committee Wilk McFarland.
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers.
Yes.
Representatives Barnaby is excused. Clemens?
Here. Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
DeSegli?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Geller? Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Latvala?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
McClure?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Omfroy? Plakin is excused. Placencia? Schoaf?
Yes.
Thompson? Yes. Tomko is excused. Wilhite?
Yes. Members, by your vote, show that House Bill 789 is reported favorably.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Mr. Chairman, could I be recorded voting favorably on that last bill?
Let the record reflect that Vice Chair Drake is voting in the affirmative. Just for clarification, does not change the passage of the bill. Let's move on to Rep. Omarka to introduce House Bill 6031 regarding individual wine containers.
Good morning, Chairman, Vice Chair, and members. House Bill 6031 addresses an issue we have in statute section 564.05, which prohibits the sale of wine in an individual container that holds more than 1 gallon of wine unless sold in a reusable 5.16 gallon container. Because violations of the beverage code are criminal unless stated otherwise, selling wine in a container larger than a gallon except in a reusable container is criminal, a criminal act and a second-degree misdemeanor for the first offense and a third-degree felony thereafter, believe it or not. It serves no good policy basis to criminalize the sale of wine based on the container size, and the statute should be repealed. Members, that is the bill for year four.
Members, having explained the bill, any questions on the bill? Rep. DeSigley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for bringing this good bill forward. How long this has been in Florida statute?
For response.
Thank you, Chair. It's relatively recent, the addition of the 5.16 gallon, but the rest of the statute, I'm not sure.
Rep. Grieco.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rep, thank you for bringing this bill. Is there anything in your bill that addresses the state's current limitation of 32 ounces on malt beverages here in the state of Florida?
Thank you, Chair. No, we don't address that.
Follow up. Rep. Lamarca, would you consider, as part of your bill moving forward, to legalize the sale of 40-ounce malt beverages in the state of Florida?
For response.
Thank you, Chairman. I think that's an interesting idea to think about in a different bill, but not in this bill.
Great. Thank you.
Any other questions? I have a quick question. Do you have any idea how much red wine compared to white wine is served in these containers? And the reason why I ask is because red wine goes really well with our new state dessert, the cannoli. So I just wanted to make sure. See?
Thank you, Chairman. Having had these robust debates and around the floors of the Capitol here about the state dessert, I think you and I and Rep. DeSigley are really in agreement that we should consider the cannoli. But to answer your question, red versus white, I think maybe a good Sauternes or dessert wine would go good with cannoli.
Probably. Maybe a little Sambuca. All right. Members, any other questions? Showing none, we are in public testimony. Public testimony before us. Christian Camara, Institute for Justice, waving in support. Jason Unger, Lake Ridge and San Sebastian Wineries, waving in support. Thank you. Phil Suderman, Americans for Prosperity, AFP, is waving in support. Showing no other public testimony. Members, we are in debate. Showing no debate, you are recognized to close.
Members, thanks for your time. I wave close and look for your favorable support.
Having waived close, the question now occurs on House Bill 6031. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Angolia?
Yes.
Vice Chair Drake?
Yes.
Republican Committee Wilk McFarland?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers?
Yes.
Representatives, Barnaby is excused. Clemens?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
DeSigley?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Geller?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Latvala?
Yes.
Maggart?
Yes.
McClure?
Yes.
Nixon? Umfroy? Placon is excused. Placencia? Schoaf?
Yes.
Thompson? Yes. Tomko is excused. Wilhite?
Yes.
Members, by your vote, show that CS for House Bill 273 is reported favorably. Let's move on to...
Thank you.
I'm sorry, let me back up. By your vote, show that House Bill 6031 is reported favorably. Sorry about that. We are going to move on to CS for House Bill 273 by Rep. Lupus regarding money service businesses. You are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, committee. Members, HB 273 is a bill that all of you had the chance to vote on last year, passed unanimously off the House floor, dealing with virtual currency. Members, over the last 7 years, OFR has received more than 70 petitions for declaratory statements in terms of how virtual currency should be regulated under Chapter 560. Now, whether you believe in virtual currency and you have you're an at-home bit miner like Representative Maggard, or you think it is a fad, that's really an irrelevant conversation, because the reality is it is an industry, and currently under Florida statute, there's very little to be said about how this industry should be regulated. So what HB 273 seeks to do is, one, define virtual currency in Section 560, clarifies money transmission licensure, which under previous case law that's been clarified by OFR, there was a need for money transmission licenses between peer-to-peer lending. What this does is say that a money transmission license is only needed when a third-party intermediary is involved. And finally, it amends the permissible investment statute. And the reason why this is important is because with the transmission of virtual currency, some states have moved in a direction of requiring that the third-party intermediary holds in holds fiat currency in the place of whatever they are transmitting in virtual currency. What this basically says is that if you're transmitting virtual currency, you need to only hold in your possession while you're transmitting the amount of virtual currency that you're transmitting. Mr. Chair, that is the bill.
Having explained the bill, members, any questions of the bill sponsor? Rep. Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, can you give me some examples of money transmitters? Are we talking about banks or payday loans or what?
For a response.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So money transmission would be anything like a Western Union would be. Like, so if I'm sending money to you, Western Union would be the third-party intermediary that's transmitting the money. I'm not actually giving the money to you. I'm giving it to Western Union, and they are sending it to you. So what the bill essentially does is it addresses a case that actually came out of Miami-Dade County where the case said that in order to do – that you essentially needed a money transmission license for two-party transactions. So theoretically, I could be giving you money – we're two parties, and I would therefore need to be licensed because we're transmitting. What this bill clarifies, and this is sort of from the declaratory statement from OFR, is that you only need a money transmission license if you're a third party intermediary.
Yep. Any further questions? Showing none, is there any public testimony? Russell Weigel, OFR, waiving its support. Thank you. Showing no other public testimony, members, we are in debate. In debate on a bill before us, showing no debate, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to acknowledge your committee staff. Kurt Hammond and Meredith Hinchel would have been hugely helpful in the crafting of this legislation. Just would ask for your support.
Having closed in, butt kissed to staff. The question now occurs on CS for House Bill 273. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Angolia.
Yes.
Vice Chair Drake. Vice Chair Drake?
Yes.
Republican Committee Wilk McFarland?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers?
Yep.
Representatives Barnaby is excused. Clemens?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
DeSegli?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Geller?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Latvala?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
McClure?
Yes.
Nixon? Umphrey? Blaken is excused. Placencia? Schoaf?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Tomko is excused. Wilhite?
Yes.
Rommel?
Yes.
The bill passes, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show that CS for House Bill 273 reported favorably.
Thank you, Committee. Have a great day.
Members, we're going to move on to CS for House Bill 223. Rep. Maney, regarding mobile home registration periods. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Vice Chairman, Ranking Member. This is a simple bill that will make life easier for the public in Florida and also make life easier and more efficient for the tax collectors in Florida. Under current law, mobile home registrations throughout the state are all due to be renewed in the month of December. This bill simply says individuals will renew their tags on the birth month, just like they do their automobile tags. So they only have to make one trip to the tax collector, and it spreads the work out for the tax collector. It was amended to provide a later starting date. It's already been amended to provide a later starting date so the public can be notified and people who have to plan their prorated tax fee will have time to do that. That's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Having explained the bill, members, questions of the bill sponsor? Questions showing none. Do we have any public testimony? Tim Qualls, Florida Tax Collectors Association, waiving in support. Showing no other public testimony, members, we are in debate. Rep. McFarland in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Maney, thank you for this bill. I heard from my tax collector in Sarasota, and they are very much in support of this bill. We've got a great mobile home community in Sarasota, and I know that they look forward to not having that annual December gathering at the tax collector's office. I think one thing I'm proud about in Florida is the great customer service that our government services offer, and this will just help make it better for mobile homeowners. Thank you.
Any further debate? Showing none, you are recognized to close.
I just ask for your support and waive close, Mr. Chairman.
Having closed, the question now occurs on CSF House Bill 223. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Engolia?
Yes.
Vice Chair Drake?
Yes.
Republican Committee Whip McFarland?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers?
Yes.
Representatives, Barnaby is excused. Clemens?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
DeSegli?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Geller?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Latvala?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
McClure?
Yes.
Nixon? Onfroy? Placon is excused. Placencia? Schoaf?
Yes.
Thompson? Tomko is excused. Wilhite?
Yes.
Rommel?
Yes.
The bill passes.
Members, by your vote, show that CSF House Bill 223 is reported favorably. Rep. Maney, stay there and introduce House Bill 381 regarding breach of bond costs.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a short bill, and it comes out of my experience in a previous occupation. Under current Florida law, when a bondsman has to go get a defendant who absconded or failed to appear in court, the bondsman only required to return the defendant to the jurisdiction from which the person absconded. Many jurisdictions in Florida, many circuits, are multi-county, and so the bondsman typically takes the defendant to the closest county in that circuit, leaving the other counties to drive and pick up and take on the cost. Since the bondsman collects a fee for returning the defendant, the cost of transporting within the circuit falls on the taxpayers, typically the sheriff. This bill just has the bondsman paying the cost to return the person to the county from which they absconded. That's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Having explained the bill, members, questions of the bill sponsor? Rep. Geller, and questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And let me say I support your bill, Rep., and I'm glad to see somebody addressing the problem that some of these rural sheriffs face, because they have limited budgets and they're trying to do the best for their people, so that's all good. My only question is, if we eliminated cash bail that keeps poor people in jail when other people get to walk free, that would also solve this problem, wouldn't it?
I don't believe that's in the scope of this bill.
I don't.
Rep. Any further questions of the bill sponsor? Showing none, is there public testimony? No public testimony. Members, we are in debate. In debate on a bill before, showing no debate, you are recognized to close.
Mr. Chairman, I ask for the committee's support and waive close.
Having waived close, a question now occurs on House Bill 381. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Engolia?
Yes.
Vice Chair Drake?
Yes.
Republican Committee Whip McFarland?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers?
Yes.
Representatives, Barnaby is excused. Clemens?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
DeSegli?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Geller?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig? Latvala?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
McClure?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Onfroy? Placon is excused. Placencia? Schoaf?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Tomko is excused. Wilhite?
Yes.
Rommel?
Yes.
Members, by your vote, show that House Bill 381 reported favorably. Members, let's go into House Bill 267 by Rep. McClure regarding swimming pool specialties contracting services. You are recognized to explain the bill.
Mr. Chair, before I leave, I'd like to recognize, if you would, the city officials from the city of Fort Walton who are here today.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. Welcome to the Florida House. Okay, Rep. McClure. You can go ahead with your introduction of House Bill 267.
Thank you, Chairman. House Bill 267 creates a new exemption of licensure requirements by allowing unlicensed persons to perform the work of specialty contractors for the construction, remodeling, repair, or improvement of swimming pools and spas. That's the bill.
Having explained the bill, members, any questions of the bill sponsor? Any questions? Rep. Thompson, any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative McClure, a number of years ago, we had a child who was electrocuted in a swimming pool because a light was not installed properly. And if an unlicensed person is allowed to perform this kind of work, who is liable if there is an injury?
Rep. McClure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the supervising contractor would, but it wouldn't prohibit the contractor, the senior contractor, engaging in a contract with the sub, and they could have kind of an additional layer, but it would fall under the general contractor of the pool, who presumably pulls the permit and, you know, identifies himself as leading the project in the eyes of the governing municipality or whoever.
Follow-up.
Thank you. Would you entertain some language that would specifically say the person who pulls the permit is responsible for any injury?
Rep. McClure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to go into the bill because on lines, I believe, 27 through 29, I'm just going to kind of pick it up in the middle, see if this makes you comfortable, but the work is within the scope of the supervising contractor's license. And so within that license, the presumption of liability is within that. But if you're uncomfortable with that, let's have a conversation to make sure you are. Certainly not the intent of the bill to waive liability right from the contractor's performance.
Thank you very much.
Rep. Geller, any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hey, Rep., how you doing this morning?
Well, I'm a little out of breath because Chair Ngoli was telling me to run, and I have not run in quite a while. Other than that, I'm wonderful.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Rep. McCoy. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Just very quickly, nothing in this bill weakens any current safety regulations pertaining to pools or hot tubs or anything like that, right?
Rep. McCoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Absolutely not. So what we're, just to get to kind of the intent, I apologize for not going into more detail. We've looked at this bill for the last few years, and it's passed unanimously. But what we're having is on these specialty contractors that are historically subcontractors of the pool contractor, we're having a labor shortage, not unlike, and this has been going on pre-pandemic. And so, you know, the thought behind this is, look, we're not lessening the standards from the general contractor and the overarching contractor's perspective, but we do need to kind of give a better path for some of these trades to come in under that license and do that work. But we are absolutely not weakening the standards of our pools. Certainly the last thing I would want to do for the constituents of Florida is make our pools unsafe.
Any further questions? Rep. Wellheiten, questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Actually, well, Rep. Wellheiten, hold on 1 second. Rep. McClure, do you want to clarify something?
Following up on the electrician, and I guess because I'm lacking oxygen from my run this morning. The electrician, it would have to be a licensed electrician hired separately. So they would be kind of a standalone entity in that particular case, just so we're clear. You know, it would be an electrician not unlike you would for other electrical purposes, if that makes sense.
Rep. Wellheiten.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think you just kind of clarified a little bit because it gives me a great concern when you talk about having, and I understand the shortage in trades and workforce, but in some areas there is a specific licensure, state licensure, as you said, for a licensed electrician. And so in this case, this wouldn't be a place where you could have someone assist, but you would still have to have an identified state licensed electrician or any other cases where there are specific things that have a state licensure associated with. They would have to be the primary, but they could have maybe a helper or assistant in this area, but they would still be responsible. Is that what you're saying by your clarification a few minutes ago?
Rep. McClure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Exactly right. So what this bill is going towards is think of the folks that put the coat on the side of the pool or the tile work or those sorts of trades within pool contracting, but certainly your ones that have a heightened standard, such as an electrician, would absolutely have to be standalone, no different than how they are today.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Okay, showing none, we have some public testimony. Ryan Roby, Florida Swimming Pool Association. Waiving and support. Thank you. Dallas Thiessen. Florida Swimming Pool Association, waiving in support. Christian Camara Institute for Justice, waiving in support. TJ Wood representing Pinch a Penny and Aqua Wolf. You can approach the podium. I have two cards here. Are you speaking on behalf of both, or how do you want me to?
Both, please.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairman.
You are recognized.
Good morning. My name is TJ Wood. I'm a swimming pool contractor and a retired Navy veteran from Tampa. Speaking in support of H. Bill 267, thank you, Representative McClure, for bringing this bill forward. We appreciate that very much. It's very important. We thank you to the Chair and Golia and the Commerce Committee for hearing this bill. For many years in the swimming pool and spa industry, it's been suffering from a shortage of laborers, not only previously, but for sure today. It's making it harder to serve our clients and customers due to that shortage. The labor shortage is due to lack of available labor and the result of unnecessary restrictive state and local licensing requirements for swimming pool contractors. House Bill 267 removes these restrictions and gives us the ability to hire the best contractors and subcontractors available. This bill will put more people to work with good-paying jobs and help alleviate the subcontractor shortage in our industry. As a licensed contractor, pool contractor for the state, I do not negate any responsibility for those folks that work underneath me as a subcontractor. Matter of fact, I am ensuring that I'm responsible for that. To answer Representative Thompson's question, we ensure that those folks that are working for us as subcontractors are followed closely and followed by the law that we represent. Please support H. Bill 267 today. Thank you, committee.
Thank you. Ryan Roby, Gorman Company, Tampa, waiving in support. Jim McGill, Pinch a Penny Pools.
Waiving support.
Thank you. Phil Suderman, Americans Prosperity, also waiving in support. I see no further testimony. Members, we are in debate. In debate on the bill before us. Showing no debate, Rep. McClure, you are recognized to close.
Waive close, Mr. Chair.
Having waived close, members, the question now occurs on House Bill 267. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Ingolia?
Yes.
Vice Chair Drake?
Yes.
Republican Committee Whip McFarland?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers?
Yes.
Representatives, Barnaby is excused. Clemens?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
DeSegli?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Geller?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Lotvalla?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
McClure?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Omfroy? Plakin is excused. Placencia? Schoaf?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Tomko is excused. Wilhite?
Yes.
Rommel?
Members, by your vote, show that House Bill 267 is reported favorably. On to the last bill for the day. Rep. Byrd, you are recognized to introduce House Bill 269, Natural Gas and Public Utility Petitions for Rate Relief.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. This may be the shortest bill that you hear all session. It changes the number 500 in Statute 366.06 to 1,000. The reason for this is that currently under the proposed agency action of the PSC, a smaller public utility with annual electricity sales of lower than 500 gigawatts can take advantage of the PAA process. There are no regulated utilities today that still qualify it since the statute was last updated in 1993. This just simply changes it to allow utilities to take advantage of the PAA process, which will save them and ratepayers money. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Having explained the bill, members, any questions of the bill sponsor? Any questions? Showing none. We're on to public testimony. Larry Williams, Chesapeake Utilities Corporations. Waiving support. Thank you. Ms. Victoria Price, on behalf of Florida Public Utilities Company, Chesapeake Utilities Corporation, and Chesapeake Utilities, I believe all three separate. Waiving in support on all three. Just two of the, all three? All right, you sure? All right. Showing no further public testimony, members, we are in debate. Showing no debate, you are recognized to close.
Waive close.
Having waived close, members, the question now occurs on House Bill 269. Ms. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Ingolia?
Yes.
Vice Chair Drake?
Yes.
Republican Committee Whip McFarland?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Silvers?
Yes.
Representatives, Barnaby is excused. Clemens?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
DeSegli?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Geller?
Yes.
Grieco?
Yes.
Haig?
Yes.
Latvala?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
McClure?
Yes.
Nixon? Amfroy? Plakin is excused. Placencia? Schoaf?
Yes.
Thompson? Tomko is excused. Wilhite?
Yes.
Rommel?
Yes.
Members, by your vote, show that House Bill 269 passes. Members, that is...
Chairman.
Yes, who called? Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. That is the end of our agenda today, so showing no further business, and by a score of 29-17, Rep. Latvala moves that we adjourn.
Charge on.
Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.